From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. I'm Nate Russell. Hello, filmmakers, media makers, live streamers, any kind of comedy maker. Welcome back to the UCB Digital Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are tuning into this episode as it is coming out, maybe you were at the Del Close Marathon last weekend. We're just wrapping it up, recording this this intro to the episode. Therefore, Sophie, who's here. Hey, Sophie, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm so good. I feel great.
Sophie's voice is gone. Do you feel bad, or is it just that your voice sounds like you've been out?
It's mostly just that my voice is gone and I sound like a sea monster. Otherwise, I feel amped.
It has a husky tone.
Yeah. Yeah. It does. Yeah, it sure does.
Well, Sophie and I just wrapped up the podcast lounge at DCM 19. It was a blast, man. I had so much fun with you,
Sophie. So much fun.
8 shows in 2 days. A lot of fun. Thanks to all the folks who came out. And we are going to start to roll this content out on our feeds and on the feeds of our partners who came in and recorded episodes with us. So really excited to share that stuff with you. And today is the first one in that series. We recorded a digital podcast that we also simultaneously live streamed during the festival, in part because it's about live streaming. So we felt like a missed opportunity to not live stream our live stream panel, you know, while we were doing it. But something that we wanted to talk about, if anyone's been to our Facebook page in the last 4 or 5 months, you'll notice that we've been trying to do Facebook Lives pretty much on a weekly basis, because the live streaming sort of world thus far has been a lot of different types of content, but comedy is definitely underrepresented in terms of like comedy concepts that are being executed on Facebook Live. So we've been throwing a lot of stuff against the wall, trying to put out some stuff on a weekly basis that uses the medium, that uses improv, that sort of plays around in that kind of space with how do we execute comedic ideas in this new emerging format. So at DCM, we took the opportunity to get a panel of folks who have been working in that medium together to sit and talk about the way that they create and the kind of stuff that they have been making on their own and what other professional opportunities that stuff has led to. So we had Anna Roisman, Eric Yearwood, and Carly Hugendijk, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But they were nice enough to sit down with us and talk to us about their different sort of live streaming escapades as they've been building names for themselves in that space. Sophie, do you do any live stream stuff? Have you done it at all?
Not really, honestly. I think I will be on Carly Jane's show pretty soon, so that'll be
awesome.
Actually my first one.
Awesome. And that's a Twitch show.
Yeah.
Twitch, of course, and we talk about this in here, is a gaming live stream format primarily, but seems to have an emerging sort of comedy vibe to it.
Yeah, I think it's cool. She brings in comedians and other performers to play Quiplash, which is this like comedy kind of party game, I think.
Very fun.
If anyone can understand me.
No, I think so. So we took the opportunity to talk with these folks live at the podcast lounge. I'm really excited to share that conversation with you. We also, all weekend long, and part of the reason why we're both so tired is we've been drinking that Bronx Banner. I guess, Sophie, you haven't because you don't drink.
I am gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
Yes.
But, man, was that place packed with the Bronx Banner.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the tall boys in there, too. We love a good Bronx Banner. And Bronx Beer, of course, the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. You can pick them up all over town and at UCB. Both theaters have Bronx in the can, and UCB East has it on draft. Go to thebronxbrewery.com for all of the information about their great selection of craft beers. So let's jump into it without any further ado. Live from DCM 19, our Comedy Do It Live panel. What's up, DCM? How are you guys doing out there? Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's that hot 3 p.m. Saturday crowd.
These are the
We've got air
hearts.
Conditioning. We've got beer.
Sandwiches,
we've got
guys.
Sandwiches. You got everything you need here at the podcast lounge and shows. AJ's behind the bar. Tip your bartenders if you're drinking this afternoon. And we're really excited to be here. We are also live on Facebook, facebook.com/UCB Comedy, because this is a panel discussion called Comedy Do It Live, about making live stream comedy with three awesome live stream experienced comedians here. So if we didn't do it live on Facebook, we'd be fucking idiots, right?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
So we are live right now, and we're also recording as a podcast. This is a multimedia experience, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So really excited that you guys have joined us. Let's go around the panel and just introduce you and the stuff that you're doing in the live stream world right now. We'll start with you, Anna.
Okay, hi, I'm Anna Roisman, and I have a show called, I have a show called The Unemployed Show that I stream on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
They are our hosts, and we've been doing it for a while, and we just did episode 17.
Awesome.
We call it season 2, episode 7.
So you've now broken up into a second season.
Second season, yeah.
Are the seasons, does it reflect like some...
Just 10 episodes,
just
you know?
10 episodes.
It was 10 felt like a really nice goal.
Okay.
So we were like, oh, season 2.
I thought maybe it had to do with like actual unemployment. Like if you file for unemployment for a certain amount of time.
Oh, no.
No.
I had a severance package for a big part of it.
Okay.
So I was still getting paid.
Did that go through all of season one?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And it continues on. So people.
It continues on until I get a job. Yeah.
Rad.
I'm a little worried. We have a whole crew. One of my crew members got a job last week, and he's like, oh my God, like, I don't want to go to work. So we'll see.
Cool.
As somebody who watches the show, I hate to wish you ill, but
I hope you never get a job. Thank you. I hope to get paid to do it.
That's
the goal.
That's the dream.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. How about you, Carla?
Cool. I host a show called Play You Guys on Twitch every Wednesday from 8 to 10.
Cool.
It's a very, like, humble, easily repeatable concept. We've done 50 episodes.
Cool.
Oh my God.
We are coming up on our 1 year anniversary
of
doing the show. And it's really simple. We get three comedians in a room with me and we play Jackbox party games, Jackbox party pack games. And four of us in room, four of us interactively tune in. And everybody who watches the show can log in and vote for their favorites. It's like truly interactive and very chill.
And Twitch, of course, is owned by, it's Amazon now, right?
Yes.
So it's an Amazon, mostly gaming streaming service.
Mostly gaming, but they just opened up to their like creative discipline. So there's definitely room for performers to get in there.
And were you doing it, how long ago were they absorbed by Amazon or bought by Amazon?
I think it was a year ago.
It was a year ago.
So I found out about Twitch. I went to a conference called PAX East.
Yeah.
And went
to their booth.
Shout out
to PAX East.
Shout out PAX East. Yeah. Shout out Twitch.
Yeah.
Shout out the partnership program. I met all these people who were making money doing live streams.
Yeah.
And it's essentially, it's. I should say up front, I'm on Twitch, but I don't tune in to watch people play video games.
Okay.
That is like the primary reason Twitch exists. And I was like, oh, there can be other reasons too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But there are these people, they make money. It's their day job. They stream all day long and people tune in with them and it's like professional hanging out. And
sure.
I was drawn to that.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And you do it all, it's all from home, right?
So I have a producer who lives in Washington Heights, and I also have a setup that I can do at home. So it's when he can host it, we go up there. It's like we have two different setups.
Okay, awesome. And last but not least, the bearded man in the corner.
Yeah. I'm Eric Earwood, and I do a few different shows under the brand Face Taze on Twitch and Facebook. And I've got a show I do with Captain Dave Murray called Gold Patrol. That's live stream Dungeons and Dragons featuring a bunch of UCB performers. I do a show called Dweeg, which is like basically, you know, experimental rap and graphics and stuff. And then the weekly show that I do with Alex Myers is Dark of the Night, which is soon to be a UCB comedy web series, as well as the live stream we do each week. So that's all the stuff I got cooking now, and
cool.
I'm going to be doing a show. We're going to be doing a show on UCB Comedy soon. That's me drawing, taking requests, drawing some pictures soon. So
cool.
A lot of stuff cooking.
Awesome. Well, really excited to sort of have you guys on this panel and to talk about the different ways and what sort of drew you to this medium and also like how you're executing. Because like as Eric mentioned, at UCB Comedy, we've started this year investing in like trying to do like a weekly, you know, some sort of, you know, spaghetti against the wall Facebook Live. And I think in part it's attractive to us because it's a great place for improvisers, because it's such a space where you know a rough idea, or you have some outline, and maybe it's rough or maybe it's detailed, and I'm curious about how detailed you guys are with the work you're doing, but it also has that without a net sort of feel to it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it also feels like it's being used, Facebook Live in its best versions right now, is being used for some pretty boring shit. right?
Yes.
It's like some celebrity talking, like kind of that Periscope model of like talking, mm-hmm. taking questions, but that's what it is. It's that they're a celebrity, so they get the follows and right. the comments. Mm-hmm. Or it's news, which has value for sure, but there's such a space for this creative like exhibition, kind of what you were saying before, Carly, about mm-hmm. using Twitch for something new. So it feels like a really Wild West environment right now, where if you're being creative and being thoughtful, you can throw some shit against the wall and be there early. Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe speak to how you guys got into it. So Anna, it was really just because you lost your job, or was this something you'd played around with before?
No,
or?
So I lost my job. I found out I was losing my job on election day.
Okay.
On November 9th, my boss walked in and was straight up like, so we're getting rid of this office, therefore we don't need you anymore. We'll give you a severance package, which sounded like the fanciest word I'd ever heard in my yeah. life, you know, being like a comedian. This was also my first day job, and I had it for 4 years. I had this job. So like I was in a routine. And so they came in and I just was like, oh my God, you know, and any other job I work. It was also, I can say this. I worked for a venture capital firm, which they have money. You know what I mean? Like sure. I had a dope paycheck. So when they said severance package, I was just going to get paid until April.
Okay. Your eyes became dollar signs.
So I was like, well, I'm not going to get a job right now because I'm still getting paid. So I thought, now's the time to like do something creative. And I had seen Facebook Live stuff. And it was mostly at that time when I started, it was mostly people on their phones, like
yeah.
going places
sure.
or like with their friends. And I thought it was fun, but I was like, I wonder if we could like make this look like a show, like yeah. a daytime talk show. And I love hosting shows. And I was like, oh, this is my time to make a show about being unemployed and like to reach out to other people. When I posted on Facebook, I crowdsourced to start out and I was like, who has daytime availability or no job? And I had 95 responses like on my first for the first post.
Yeah.
And then I had for season two, we did it again and I had like 87 people
that
be like,
great.
I wanna do it. And I get people to like message me now and they're like, hey, I lost my job. And I'm like, I'm sorry, keep your job. Like,
yeah. You well I guess well why do it that way then? You could do a talk show, the unemployed show that's filmed.
Sure.
Filmed with a live studio audience and release it as a web series or as
yeah.
whatever. Like, why live?
I just think that I liked the element of surprise. Like, anything
okay.
can happen. We're in the middle of the day. We shoot at 3 p.m. on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a time when most people are working who have a job. Or if you have a restaurant job, you're, like, going into work. I don't know. And I just thought, I want to get people who are at work to watch or, like, my old bosses. No. I don't know. I liked the idea of experimenting live. I don't know. I've done web series before. I love shooting stuff and writing, but we thought, you know, it was just a new challenge for me, I guess.
Cool. Yeah.
I mean, we produce it. Like, we don't just, you know, decide the day of, like, what should we do today?
Sure.
Like, we think, you know, right now I'm booking into July 20th, which is very
a
funny.
A couple weeks away.
Unless I get hired, but that's always the catch. I've canceled one show because I had a callback that I could not miss or change.
God. Did you have a guest host or you just canceled?
No, we just can't. We moved it to Friday. Sometimes
okay.
we'll do it on a Friday.
Okay.
It's fine.
All right. That's cool.
So, it was really based on losing my job and wanting to be creative. And then I, like, liked it.
And it felt like it was appropriate for the idea.
Yeah. I feel to like, because it's on my couch.
Sure.
And just to jump in and say something, I told Anna this before the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, I have a day job.
Yeah.
And I watch her show. Like, if the sweet spot for live streaming.
So wave to your bosses right now. Hey,
right. Hey,
she
everybody.
Works so hard on Thursdays.
Well, no, it's he understands. We actually do live stream. I work for NYC Parks. And so it's like, I'm just doing research about the digital space. And no, it's a really ripe time to get people at their computers watching a live show is during the day. And I actually do like a nighttime show where the concept is you're tuning in the same way that you would actually go to like the Pit Loft or like you would, you know, like we get Pit Loft sized crowds. I'm just saying.
Okay.
But no,
this is a UCB podcast.
Oh, so sorry. Well, no, it's just that concept of, I guess I'll.
Yeah,
I
mean,
say.
You mentioned before, too, that you were sort of entering a space that the kind of content on that platform isn't what you were watching.
Mm-hmm.
But you sort of said
same.
There's a way to do something a little bit more comedic or something a little bit more high concept than what was happening in that space.
Definitely. And I would never call my show high concept.
Okay.
Higher concept than just playing
a video game, though, right?
Well, definitely. No, and I think the thing that's high concept about it, if at all, is two things. It's the interactivity. Like, that's built, it's baked in that we rely on finding four people who also want to play along with these comedians.
Yeah.
And the reason that I, the real reason that I did it is you have this hotbed of talent in New York City, and they're also, like, there's so many exciting people in this community. And then just to bring those people to, like I guess middle America in a general sense, but just anybody. Like, we get a lot of people's parents tuning in because they don't get a chance to see them perform.
Sure.
And it's like, it's accessible anywhere, internationally. Like, you can actually, we have a handful of regulars, and they're from all over the country, and they tune in every Wednesday because it's their favorite show. And these are the people outside of New York City who would be showing up at the jams every week to, like, build a comedy community, but they found it online, and I find that really exciting.
It is interesting how much of a community building, like, it offers that same aspect of, like, what the sort of, like, alt comedy scene in New York and LA and other big cities has is that feel of you're going somewhere and you're part of that community, right? So it feels like there's, you know, especially in a place where you maybe don't know a lot of people, it becomes your sort of, like, de facto, you know, family, extended family, like, you know, friend group, even if you don't know people that well, right? And sort of it has that ability in that digital space to offer that too.
Well, right? And I'll just jump in by saying, like, it's unique because your community or fan base is outside of your geographic home.
Yeah.
So most of the followers for Dark of the Night for us are in Florida, in Missouri, and places that know nothing about the New York City comedy scene. And it's really refreshing to have these people call in and even call in and do bits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but I got into it because I had a couple of, like, setbacks. I was working for Saturday Night Live, and I bought this really fast computer so I could do design for the digital shorts. And then they fired me because my boss's boyfriend got hired in my place. So that was an unfortunate thing. But I had this fast computer. And then I had finished a run on Characters Welcome at UCB, and I was, like, auditioning for a mod team and didn't get on after a third time. Like,
you should come be on my show. You seem to have run into
Yeah, exactly. And so I thought to myself, well, what am I going to do now?
Yeah.
So I had an idea after watching Harmon Quest on CISO. Him, and I thought, was like, that's really creative the way they use the animation with the Dungeons and Dragons. I said, what if we did a live Dungeons and Dragons show at UCB? Maybe I could pitch that as my next thing. And I went to Dave Murray, shout out to Dave Murray. He's a dungeon master. I said, what do you think about doing this Dungeons & Dragons show? And he was like, well, here's the problems with that, but what if we did it on Twitch as a live stream show? And I didn't know anything about it. But I started to look into it, and I was like, holy crap, this is like the confluence of all of my skill sets, because I'm like a motion graphics guy by day, and a comedian and performer, and on live stream, I can create graphics that don't happen in post.
Yeah.
I can set myself up to trigger live graphics as I'm performing live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it just was like freaking Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. I just thought it was like, world of imagination, you know? And so that's the way it's been, and I feel like I've been tripping out ever since.
Sure. And a lot of stuff that you've been, like, we've been talking about some ideas, and they all are very high concept.
Yeah.
Sort of like trying to do stuff that feels like it is somewhere between a live performance and some sort of, with animated pieces or some sort of, like, additional graphic stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, there is a difference, right, between doing a show on a stage, especially in a black box, and doing something that is on the internet,
it's
which
almost
is
like, it's that, like, broadcast television.
Yeah. Yeah. So which means that at the same level of I'm unemployed, you know, nepotism got me, you know, got me nowhere. I'm doing this like I'm doing something that like is out of my house. Like, you still have to have some technical ability and a rig and some stuff to put it together. And also, it seems like the tools to do this stuff at a consumer level, at a non-broadcast TV level, they're not perfect. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, well, that's why maybe there's like three of us sitting here instead of, you know, just a room full of people, because you find out there's kind of an easy like first step into the world, but then it gets real technical real fast.
Okay.
And so that's, I think, a ceiling that I would imagine like a lot of companies will catch up and make it easier for everybody. But right now, I find like I'm constantly like, it's like the Millennium Falcon in my studio, where I'm just like sparks flying out of everywhere.
Yeah.
So
it does feel like that. Like
my apartment looks, I have pictures, it's just wires everywhere.
Yeah.
And we store it. I live in a studio. You've seen it. And it's just the side is just covered in like stuff that we leave every week. I have to shout out though to Brian Russo. I don't know if you guys know Brian Russo. Brian is my good friend. He's the tech director of The Unemployed Show.
Mm-hmm. And also an engineer on Good Morning America.
I'm also an engineer on Good Morning America.
Which means that he's up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but then he's done with work by...
He comes over. He's done with work. He wraps around like 11, and he comes over at 12:30 on Thursdays. We set up until 2. Our guests come at 2. We go live at 3. That's like our jam. Brian and I have gotten very close. But all of the equipment we use is Brian's.
But what's interesting there is that that's a crossover with like so essentially what you're saying is you have somebody on your team who does have
he's a broadcast TV engineering
experience.
Yeah.
Because your stuff looks
great. When I approached him, I was like, listen, you work for GMA. I want to fucking, you know, compete with Good Morning America, Today Show, The Unemployed Show.
Let's
I want to be on that plane. And he was like, I haven't seen that yet, so let's do it. We started out, though, with one camera. Mm-hmm. Like, if he wasn't into it, I was going to figure a way to do it because I really wanted to. But I didn't want to do a phone. I wanted to do it on a camera. So now we're up to... We do three cameras.
Yeah.
We have about 5 mics. So when we have a lot of guests, that's good.
A lot, yeah.
So the program we use, though, is free. Anyone can download
OBS.
Which program do you use?
Yeah.
You guys all use OBS?
I do OBS.
You do OBS?
Yeah. I just checked in with Brian. I was like, is it OBC
software.
Or OBS? This is how sad I am when it comes to tech.
Well,
I'm sorry. I will say that it's kind of interesting. I have two setups. So I have the setup uptown with my producer, David Ray. Shout out. He's the best.
Shout out, David Ray.
He sets everything up in his apartment, and I don't have to worry about it. I can focus on hosting, and that like is a great situation. It looks slick, and we switch between different... camera setups, and we have a chat cam, and we have our regular like playing the game cam, and it's really like seamless and easy for me. And then we have my more like travel sized production when he has to go do a different gig, and that's in my apartment, and it's like a single webcam and it's like, let's just make sure that we do a show this week. And I've learned how to pull that off on my own, which is that's where I've really grown as a person doing live streaming. Is I used to be very tech improficient.
Yeah.
Unproficient. Not proficient. And now I like understand mics and levels. And the one thing I will point out is that with live streaming, there's always the possibility that something will go wrong.
Yes.
So like...
Yeah, sometimes Facebook won't play our intro music.
Yeah, you just like it's about going with the flow and mistakes happening, having contingency plans. But there's definitely a way to do a pared down production with like a GoPro that's not completely overwhelming.
Sure.
I will say what Anna does is like really nice looking. So
I guess how much do the setups change week to week? Or like how much of that troubleshooting in setting up and doing stuff on a regular basis do you feel like you're finding a new workflow? Or you're finding something that doesn't work?
Well, that's,
you know,
in
I mean?
Repetition.
Is it every time?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, we've been doing this for a year now, and the first, like, 10 shows, there was just, like, this constant, what could go wrong? What's going to, like, go fritzy, and, like, sound is going to go out at any moment, and, like, it just was very tense, and, like, I think the more into it we got, we like fine-tuned from week to week. We like altered the setup. We added new equipment bit by bit.
That's what we did. We went 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
We had a phone.
And like David and I do freelance live stream now. So when we get freelance gigs, we use that money to augment the show.
Well, and also in addition to, as you're saying, like different setups and whatever, that not only happens on the gear side, on our side of the camera, but then with regard to settings, because I multi-stream to Facebook and Twitch, and then I was also trying to do Periscope for a while, and
we
want to
do YouTube, yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The thing is all of those platforms have different optimization settings, and then some of them also make it difficult for you to multi-stream or to do what you want to do. So we're talking about this being like the Wild West a little bit. And one of the things that maybe this is like kind of going in a different direction topic-wise, but like some companies are wanting to, and this goes back to the you having somebody from Good Morning America, you know, as this proliferates and more people are doing this, companies are going to fast try and lock it down and control what you're doing. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying this since we're streaming on Facebook, but it's like a place like Twitch.
I think Livestream already has a partnership with Facebook, like as as we said, like they just locked it in.
They're trying to build channels. Facebook
Livestream.
Oh, well, well, what I was going to say is, what I was going to say
we
is
were
like,
one person in that for all those listening.
You know, like it's I use a ton of like basically ripped content. Like, so we're always putting up YYtube videos of like other people's music, other people's videos, and commenting over it. And there's a way in which maybe that's stealing, but there's a way, another way in which, I mean, actually, what if it's some crappy band that like, and we blow up and we like take them with us, because it's like Beavis and Butthead. Nobody knew, you know, Henry Rollins or whatever until they saw his video on Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. What if we're like Beavis and Butthead? So anyways,
the
Twitch
dream
is
again.
A place.
So you want to be the Beavis and Butthead of life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But if Twitch, the point is Twitch is a place that it, they don't care, at least, about some of that content and propriety. And some of these other companies make it more difficult for you to be as loosey-goosey.
Well, they do, once if you're under a certain threshold, if your audience is not like at a certain level.
Right.
It's the Wild West until you've got thousands of people watching you.
A good point.
I was gonna say in the last few weeks, so we feature comedians' videos as our like commercial break
if we're
switching our setup because we do cooking segments now because this is
you're just making it more and more ambitious.
Yeah, we switched my entire like setup over to the kitchen. But so we feature people's videos, and in the last few episodes. Our live stream is taken down if there's any copyrighted music, even in the video that we play, which is like 2 minutes of an hour show, and it'll say like 13 seconds of this video, you know, you don't have the rights to, and I'm just, so they'll take the whole live stream down and it like screws up our
after
views right as soon as we're done the show. And then I have to like dispute it. I don't know if we're like on their radar, but this happens every week. So now whenever I like ask for people to send me videos, I'm like, I can't have any copyrighted music whatsoever.
Yeah, no, Facebook flags you for that kind of stuff. I've worked with clients that like we couldn't upload a Facebook video because they had been flagged for like recently.
Yeah. Once it happened to us because of our, we have a countdown. Our countdown music was like elevator music that we found online and
you can't use it.
Who knew?
Shout out also to Sarah Dooley who wrote our theme song. The only music during my show
original music.
Yeah.
Can I shout out Mike Kuplik? Hi, Mike Kuplik. You wrote my theme song. He's my music partner.
So it's interesting because like, I think initially like I was thinking about Wild West in terms of some of the technical setup.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're also talking about the ways in which the, because of the proliferation of the medium.
Yeah.
Because so many people are using it and it is getting so many views, they're also figuring out ways to tamp down on it and also find ways to make partnerships official. I just saw that there's a new feature on Facebook that allows you to essentially like associate yourself with companies who do have paid promotion as part of live content as well, and saying like product placement is now part of what is available through those tools.
I want to product place everything.
Well, this is one of the things that we're facing, I feel like, and not to get too grandiose about my crappy little live stream comedy shows, but the fact is right now in the global marketplace, like the world is trying to clamp down and companies are trying to clamp down on the internet as a whole. And so, you know, we've got like bills in Congress about like net neutrality and stuff like that. You've got companies that want to silo people that are producing content to get control of it. And so right now we're in a place where we can sort of escape the gravity of some of these companies trying to like lock us down because they don't know enough about live streaming stuff. But eventually, yeah, everybody's going to want to try and like squeeze what we're doing into these particular social media channels, or they're wanting to control your content and whatever. And so it's a weird time to figure out like what channel do I want to be broadcasting to, what can I get away with, and all these issues.
I don't know why LaCroix hasn't sponsored my show yet. We drink cases of LaCroix every week and we're like,
yeah, Modelo, if you're watching this.
Seriously.
Modelo and LaCroix, a lot of consumption there. Well, you know, it's interesting, like, let's maybe, like, because we are live on Facebook right now, right? And one thing that we are one thing we are not doing in this live stream is really the interactive piece of it. But that's also seems to be part of what makes live streaming work from a from a reach perspective is engagement with audience, because when you're watching a live stream, to watch someone else do something isn't as much fun as it is when there is some sort of engagement.
Conversation.
So I guess how have you guys approached that, like, let's say creatively, right? Either in the concepts that you're executing or tweaking on a show that on a week-to-week basis, or building new high concept stuff that, you know, engages with audience as part of what the show is, even if you don't know exactly where that's going to lead you.
Our show treats the chat like it's in the room with us. Okay. We have a screen that blows up the chat so that everybody on the couch can see who is watching the show, who's talking. It's how we determine who to get into the game. We tend to only let people play along with us if they've been vocal and they've kind of proven that they're not like a troll. Because the only thing that's worse than having a troll in the chat is actually letting them into the game and then they're like saying heinous things that you have no control over.
Sure.
But we definitely, it's part of the experience of watching the show is feeling like you're in the room with, I'm just going to say three hilarious people and leave myself out of it. But like you're hanging out with some really funny, exceptional comedians, and it's kind of a rare experience, and you get to like goof around with them and you get to do bits, and every show there's like a new in joke that comes back every time and the audience gets to play along. There's always nemesis like situations where we like really gang up on one audience member, or like the audience got really behind Glo Tavares. Like, they just loved her, and all show, it was just like, Glo! And, like, they ask the next couple of weeks, where's Glo? So, like, they are paying attention. They're excited about us as people, and we get excited about them as, like, contributors in this conversation.
Okay.
So, Ian Griffin Adams. Hi, Ian. Ian is my social media sidekick. We call him social media sidekick Ian. He's not on camera, although we've discussed putting a camera on him. He was on camera the other day. We did a behind-the-scenes episode, so if you want to see how we actually set up, we did just like a handheld camera in black and white because it looked cool, and we showed my whole apartment set up. Ian sits on a computer, and he has a mic. He's pretty much like this, you know, but he has his computer out. We learned that the first episode I tried answering the comments and stuff, and I couldn't, like, host.
You couldn't multitask.
And it's so hard. And so Ian's awesome at it. He runs a podcast network. He, you know, produces a lot of content. And I was like, he'd be perfect for this. And we hit it off. We've worked together before on a podcast. So he sits on the comments, and how we interact, usually, you know, I have to remember to, like, ask, he'll interject and, like, let me know who's in, how many people are in, what do they want to know. We did a karaoke episode, like a couch karaoke episode that wasn't a ripoff of James Corden. That was an, you know, homage to James Corden. I'm a huge fan. And, like, Michael Hartney was on that episode, and so we'd ask the audience what songs they want to hear, you know, and we'd pick from our... From our viewers, which was a lot of fun, and... If we do prank phone calls, you know, we'll ask viewers, like, is there anything they want to know? Or, you know, we love when people comment more. We use them as much as we can.
Yeah, and this is something that Alex and I in particular are trying to learn more about, is, like, how to better engage our audience. Because, you know, the conceit of Dark of the Night is that we are, like, truth-hunting, paranormal talk show hosts. And so we try and always, like, feel messages, and, you know, we have people call into the show, and then like we had an episode a couple weeks ago where we asked them to post paranormal videos and we would like kind of comment on them and stuff, But I feel like we got to still kind of crack the nut on some of the most interesting ways to be interactive. And that's also something that's always on my mind, because I geek out on the tech side of things. And so as we move in the direction, especially on Twitch and stuff, of video games and of, you know, technology being more fully integrated into improvising, which is where this all starts anyway, like the opportunity to have greater interactivity with an audience is going to get more and more important and more just imaginative.
Can I ask a question for Dark of the Night? Because you stream to Facebook and Twitch, and you've got separate chats going. Yeah, how do you juggle that?
Well, most of our viewers are on Facebook, and I don't know if we're not in the right category on Twitch or whatever, but our Twitch is not growing real rapidly, so we got to kind of figure that out.
Yeah.
But I'm going to join Twitch, guys.
Yeah, do it.
Are you able to actually manage multiple chat streams, or do you just ignore?
We ignore a lot. We're going to start integrating a tech soon, because I mean, on Dark of the Night, and you'll see it. I mean, there's first of all so much graphic stuff that I'm managing while performing, and we've got a drum pad that's basically triggering our cameras. So that's actually become one of the funnier, I guess, bits. Is like Alex and I will be like talking to a camera, and then it's like, oh, we're talking to the wrong camera. Switch to camera two. Now we're talking to the right camera. So with all that going on, it's like we need somebody to help us manage the interactive part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's also, like, what size, so I guess for the projects you're doing, what size is the crew that isn't on camera for the stuff that you're doing right now? Because that's the other thing is, none of what you guys are doing right now, we said, please, LaCroix and, you know, let's find some sponsors, but it's not right now for that, right? It's more of a creative outlet and projects that you're doing for yourselves as much as anything else. So besides yourselves on a project and besides any sort of cast, what additional crew exists on a week-to-week basis? You probably have the biggest crew. Right?
We have four people who run cameras and do social media. So there's three. Well, Brian does all the tech. Like, he switches between our cameras. We have two people on cameras. And the wide, we don't have anybody on that one. That one's kind of just our wide. Yeah, and then Ian sits on social media. So there's always four besides me, and then guests. And then we, you know, if someone has a job, we have like three camera people who've floated in and worked on days when like someone can't make it. Because they all freelance and book jobs, and so we try and make it work.
So usually four plus, give or take.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in room, it's either a two-person show or a one-person show.
Wow.
But we do have, this is an interesting thing that kind of relates to the audience interactivity. Initially, Brittany Tompkins was our chat moderator, and she came on and she would play along with us, and she would make sure that any
Brittany's my best guest. She chimes in on every episode.
She's incredible, and she gets live stream. She's somebody who like understood it before I did. So like having her in the room was really helpful for learning what would go over well on Twitch. And now she's producing her web series, so she had to step away. And when I was like, oh no, we lost our chat moderator. Who will we get to do this crucial job? We use this guy who has been watching the show since episode 2. He's from Boston. His name is Magooch.
Magooch.
Honestly, like, I want this name to become synonymous in the New York comedy scene. Like, no Magooch. He's excellent. He like beats us on a regular basis at Quiplash, and he's just very fun and engaged and wants to help. And that's one of the greatest things about Twitch is you find these people who would show up in the middle of the day to operate a camera or be your social media person, but they're just in Boston.
For me, I feel dumb because it's just me. And some of these shows are really tech heavy, like this Dungeons & Dragons show we're doing. You know, we've got four other comedians, and then I'm playing the game too. And when somebody scores a hit or whatever, I made like cut scenes, like, so Jeremy Bent is like a wizard, and it's like he scores a hit, and like cutting to a shot, a pre-recorded shot of him in a wizard's outfit, like slashing like this, and then we like cut back to the game and stuff. And so I'm always,
and there are other people on Twitch doing Dungeons and Dragons, but not like that.
Right.
That's where it's really
a cool
a
opportunity
above.
For me to think about innovative ways to do this stuff. But I'm always like, okay, I've got to be on the tech, and then suddenly like, oh, I'm a gnome again because I'm playing the game too. And so that's why I like desperately need a tech, but it's got to be somebody special who really knows, who I can trust with the gear.
Yeah.
Where does all of this sort of fit for you guys? Like, if you think, because this isn't obviously all that you're doing, right? But where does it fit for y'all inside of a larger career objectives, right? You've been saying you could walk away from this.
I don't think I can anymore.
You don't think you could?
I don't know. I mean, it's funny. Now I like if I've moved auditions around
really?
The unemployed show.
Okay.
Which is when I'm like, Anna, this is
That's
something
love.
You do and you spend money on every week
yeah.
and you should go to your audition at the time they gave you. I don't know.
It's also yours, right?
Yeah.
It's an investment in self. But I guess where...
I didn't answer that question.
Where does your hope for it lie, though? Is it something that is, like, hopefully going to lead to something else? Or do you actually have an ambition that is, like, this thing, let's make it...
Oh, my God. We want to sell the unemployed show. We want to have a studio. Like, the amount
yeah.
of stuff we've wanted to do in, like, if we had this kind of space, holy shit, we could, like... We could have so many more fun segments. I mean, we're always, you know, I live in 400 square feet.
Yeah.
So, you know, really what we can do is limited. But yeah, we talked about this the other day when we did our, like, behind-the-scenes episode. We had people ask us questions, and they were like, if you had all the money in the world, I think Brittany asked, if you had all the money in the world, like, what would you do? And we're like, we want a studio. We want to do it, you mm-hmm. know, probably more than once a week. We'd get, you know, bigger, like, celebrity people and talk about when they were struggling, when they were unemployed, what did
people.
They do, you
uh-huh.
know. We have, I don't know. I dream big. I dream really big.
Well, can I just jump in and say this is maybe an opportunity, and I've talked to Carly about this, like, perhaps we could talk about getting together and pitching in on a shared
on a
space.
A giant empire?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You guys saw it right here, all of us.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, yeah.
We're the future of live comedy.
That's right.
That's it, live comedy.
You saw it happen. What about you, Eric? Like, because you're saying that right now you need to bring more people in. Let's say you bring more people in. Which side of the process do you sever off from yourself? Right.
Right.
You're not doing it all anymore. Where does it go?
I have big visions,
okay.
and partly, like I said, it's informed by rejection, because in New York, you are at the mercy of certain gatekeepers that, if they think you're good enough, then you get to do what you want to do.
I think that's everywhere.
I know, I know. But this is an opportunity to create a stage for yourself.
Okay.
And that's what I'm doing. And it just so happens that it dovetails, like I said, with my technical and animation skills. So my vision and hope is I want to create and I want to perform and write and direct in a sci-fi interactive VR live stream show.
Meow.
Yeah, that, because I think that that's, everything's going to go in the direction of
VR.
VR, I think it's going
to, tell you
if
something
you
after,
want to view,
yeah.
it's
going to,
I
want to
be inside Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory performing live
yeah.
with graphics.
Carly,
yeah.
you're going to get
yeah.
us taken down on Facebook for singing that song.
Oh, so sorry. I want to do a live shot by shot remake
it.
Of,
yeah.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit,
okay.
and have Eric yeah. do the cartoons.
Well, no. Carly, you mentioned that the experience of doing it for yourself has led to freelance work
oh,
doing
yeah.
live streaming for other people.
Because honestly, like, people want
yeah.
to live stream to
yeah.
get their message out, because the thing we haven't said yet is that Facebook does, like, a high priority algorithm for its live videos. You just reach more people, and that's why streaming to Facebook is useful. It's like you've been building this audience for the past.
That's why there's 497 people in right now.
Yeah,
right?
And that's
wow.
why we're tripping over viewers right now. no, but I do think that. So I will say that, like, my career big picture is, like, kind of littered with different types of live streams.
Yeah.
I do the freelance. I do my weekly show. That's, like, the biggest example of comedy. And live streaming, but professionally working at Parks as a digital content creator, the focus there is about bringing people from social media to a space and yeah. showing them that space.
Sure.
I used to do live stream tours of Central Park for like 250 people, and you would just have people being like, I'm from Wisconsin, and that was their chat, that was what they said, and you'd be like, hey, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And it's like,
they love that though.
They love that. They're like, they said what I said. But like, it's incredible to see that back and forth of just like, this is happening live, I do hear you, and here's this incredible space that we're all kind of enjoying together digitally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there's something there, even just that like, we all have access to shows in all of these venues. Like right now we're experiencing Del Close Marathon, and there's just like nonstop incredible comedy happening. And I think that there are people in other cities and like nations that would be thrilled to like
to
experience
yeah.
that too. So I do think more so than like creating, I think what Eric has in mind as far as creating worlds and using it as a form in and of itself mm-hmm. for creative expression, that's awesome. I kind of just want to be like, hey guys, you don't live here, but you can experience this too.
You want to know something funny? I got a notice that a synagogue in Philadelphia, they were live streaming the high holidays for people who couldn't go to synagogue.
Really? Oh, that's the most like, popular type of live stream yeah. is church.
What?
People don't want to have to leave their house for church, so they tune in to church.
Yeah,
so cool. That's like so popular.
When you're looking for plugins or different like tech to augment some of your streaming shows and stuff, you'll find that a lot of it is optimized for church services.
Mm.
So they're ahead of the game.
They're cleaning up.
I also have to say, if you mention any naked body parts or like any or like take say the words like I'm taking my clothes off, like your spikes, your views spike.
Oh,
so I always
story.
Joke that I want to do like a porno episode, but I don't know. I don't want to get
really?
Kicked off.
What's the reason for that?
Because there's sickos on the internet.
Well, and also,
but how could they know that if they're not listening?
I mean, did a dance show at Reckless Theater. Sorry, again, I keep mentioning these other theaters.
It's
but like, do you even go here?
No, there's she doesn't even go here.
There's a show at Reckless called Dancing with the Star Stuffs that I did a multicam live stream of.
Uh-huh.
That was my first experiment in doing like a live show happening in a theater that people tuned into. And the largest spike in the audience, we went up to 80 concurrent viewers at a dance with Ian O'Keefe and Kiki O'Keefe, where they were Adam and Eve, and they had gaff tape over their like boobs and crotches, and they were dancing, and people tuned in and they stayed. And that was the thing, it's like most people watch a live stream for like 60 seconds, 90 seconds, but like people were like, oh, I will watch this to completion.
Well, and I was gonna say, part of it too, I think, is because the people that are most familiar with live streaming are like Twitch audiences, and Twitch audiences, they are a lot of them really young, and they fall into the really popular streamers fall into two categories. Either they're like masters at Counter-Strike or whatever, or they're like extremely attractive young women wearing very minimal clothing.
Playing a dance game.
And they make so much money. So maybe like some of the kind of way people are wired in watching live streaming, they're like, oh, you know, this is like titillating content, and I'll just turn that on.
How much, and this is, we have to wrap up here in a minute, but I guess a good question to ask as well is how much of, like, because people are scrolling over it a lot of times on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and you want them to stop and you want them to engage. And there are also people who are joining mid-concept. How much of what you're doing are you trying to, how much in your mind on camera are you resetting, redescribing?
Mm-hmm.
How much thought goes into like what you're writing that the post is called so that people joining can understand it? Like, that also is like another unique challenge of the space, that like you're not just executing comedy and sometimes executing tech and animation and all this other stuff and resetting spaces, but you're also like trying to think, how do I get people engaged, how to get them to stop, like from just scrolling past to click through to add sound, all that stuff. How much of that is creatively part of the process, or is it not?
I drink on my show, so depends on how much we drink that day. Where sometimes we drink LaCroix and no alcohol, and that's when I'll, you know, kind of after we do the video or whatever, like there are points in the show where we'll explain what we're doing. But mostly in our post is where we say like, hey, we've got, you know, Michael Hartney here. We're doing karaoke on the couch, and like it'll say it so people can kind of see it. If they mm-hmm. don't know who he is, they should. I don't know. And Ian will, like, kind of, in our comments, constantly update, you know, what we're doing, what's next, who's coming on the show next. So we mm-hmm. kind of do it that way, but I don't always say it.
Not
Brian wants me to, because our graphics, you know, like, pop up, and he'll, like, have graphics set for the show, and he's like, you have to say it again so I can put them on. I'm yeah. like, all right.
I mean,
that
was
Twitch, yeah.
Yeah, that was a learning curve for me as far as, like, every episode explaining how it works. Like, I mean, every game explaining, like, if you want to play along, you can. Like, really repeating that, like, if you don't have a Twitch handle and you don't know what's going on, get a Twitch handle, chat with us, and you can get in. Because it is a lot of, like, I will say a lot of moms play, so mm-hmm. everyone should be allowed to, like, able to
sure.
figure it out. But it is a matter of just, like, repeating it and making it sound easy, because the interaction is the key to our show working.
Yeah.
But, yeah, getting it in the title of your post and just making sure that if there is somebody monitoring the chat, they're pinning the pertinent question or what's going on so that when you show up, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting, as new and kind of like new media as this platform, this medium is, there are these weird connections with older mediums. Like, I mean, this is essentially a broadcast question. And, you know, in broadcast and radio broadcast, you've got station IDs every periodically,
yeah.
and they'll have to re-up and reintroduce people that are just tuning in on what's happening. And that's something that is just now coming to my mind. Some of the shows I'm doing is, yeah, like, you know, we're typically looking to these, like, Twitch performers that are playing a video game for hours, and they don't give a rip about that, and they've got millions of followers. So that's one philosophy of broadcast where you don't even pay attention to it, and some people are winning that way. But then in other ways, I think that there's it's really important to re-up and reintroduce as people are tuning in.
Yeah, I mean, and especially on Facebook, where it is literally about how do we get you to stop, how do we get you to click through, mm-hmm. and then what the fuck is this so you stay?
Yeah.
Right?
Ours was production quality. We were like, I want someone to see that this is live and it's not a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that's more important on a platform like Facebook, where you're showing up in a feed
yeah.
as opposed to Twitch, where you're going to the channel to see the feed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's true. Mm. Well, thank you guys for doing this. For those who are out there, you can check out The Unemployed Show Thursdays at 3
yes.
on Facebook.
Thank you.
You can check it out. Play You Guys Wednesdays.
Wednesdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard
on Twitch.
Time.
And yeah. FaceTase is putting out stuff pretty
regularly. But tune into Dark of the Night in particular on Wednesday nights at 9:30.
Great. Well, thank you all for doing this. Thanks to y'all out there for hanging out with us this afternoon.
Thanks
to you on Facebook for watching live, too.
Yeah.
This has been the UCB Digital Podcast at DCM 19. Be safe. Stay cool. And we will see you soon. Bye, 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 bye. And that will do it for episode number 50 of the UCB Digital Podcast. Thanks, y'all, for tuning in. Thanks to those who came out to the podcast lounge. And thanks to Anna, Eric, and Carly for taking the time to talk about their live streaming experience. If you're interested to check out any of our live stream content, we've got stuff, like we said, weekly, facebook.com/UCB Comedy. We got new videos coming out all the time on YouTube and Vimeo as well, including a new short coming up in the next couple of weeks from our old buddies Brinkman. They're the last piece of the Brinkman anthology short film series is coming out in a couple of weeks. We hope that you'll check that out. If you like this show, you can give us a subscribe, a rating, and a review. We'd love to hear from you. That's at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. Connect with us on social media at UCB Digital on Facebook and Twitter. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, y'all, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.